the show. I'm gonna get.
You need to watch those four letter words, baby. You gotta watch them four letter words on here, baby. We going to the radio stations now.
Oh, I'll do my best. Duck, goose. That's all I'm saying.
You know, I don't give a duck. That's what I'm talking about.
Duck you,
man. Duck all y'all.
Mother yes. Ducker. Woo!
Today's Mother episode Ducky? Is sponsored in part by Feeding the Ducks. Feeding the Ducks is our royalty-free accompaniment this morning. As you can hear in the background, our music, and we decided that we're going to run on every variation of the word duck to replace the other uck that starts with the letter F. We looked at the alphabets and we said, get the F out. You know what I'm saying? We went on ahead and put that D up in there, baby, as in duck. Oh, shucky ducky. Quack, quack. Oh, how are we doing today, Amazon?
Good. Check it out. I used my juicer that my cousin bought me as a gift because mine died and have this delicious, that's a lie. This not very tasty, however, very healthful juice, not my coffee. So, if I'm a little rambunctious, it's due to the fact that I really miss my coffee. But I'll hang in there. Other than that, everything is great. Great. I'm excited about our guest today. Yes.
You know, I think your organs and all of your bodily chemistry will appreciate the healthier choice you're making with those juices. I think that's a good thing. And, you're going to start finding more natural energy. But the only thing about natural is that it just takes a little bit longer to kick in than that Western eye stuff. Just a little bit. So we'll do the best that we can do. And speaking of the best that we can do, the best that we can do are these incredible prices that we offer for our incredible merchandise at punkdemic.com. It's about to be hoodie seasons. Depending on where you are in the country, it already is. Make sure you grab a Punkdemic hoodie or a t-shirt or a beanie, baseball cap, anything that we can slap a Punkdemic logo on, we basically did. And we did it for you. We did it so that way you can be styling and profiling out there in the world. And at the same time, representing something that's got a real message with nothing other than the Punkdemic podcast. So go ahead and get you some stuff from punkdemic.com. Punkdemic.com. What's that site again?
I'm pretty sure it's punkdemic.com.
Yeah, you know, it's nice to hear you say it. You know, you are the owner of said website. And, you know, I love the fact that you are rocking your very own Punkdemic hoodie today.
I'm raising my hand because I have a question.
Well, I have a question too. Did you not know that October was DV Awareness Month?
Yes, I did. And that's why I'm wearing my hoodie. Thank you for that. No, but before that, I had a question. Is it too early to wish people a Merry Thickmas?
Because you know what?
Thickmas is just sitting there waiting for all the thickness and the curves and the things. Somebody asked if one of the sketches was of me, and yes, it is, because I got it like that. Yep. Is it too early to say Merry Thickmas is the question.
It is never too early to say Merry Thickmas. Thickmas, let me tell you something about Thickmas, baby. Thickmas is the most wonderful time of the year, baby. I love me some Thickmas, baby. Merry Thickmas. Keep the Dimmick thick, baby. Thick Dimmick. Also available at punkdemic.com. Go ahead and get something for that plushy-sized person in your life. Or if you happen to be that plushy-sized person of your life, go ahead. We over here at Punkdemic and Thick Dimmick, we say treat yourself. Don't cheat yourself. So go ahead and grab some of that Thick Dimmick stuff. We wish you a Merry Thickmas and a Thickmas New Year. All year long over at Punkdemic, and you can also check out the Thickdemic collection on the Punkdemic website. It's all in one place, as well as an opportunity in the space for you to check out previous episodes of our podcast and our archives that are also on the site. So again, make sure you swing over to punkdemic.com and tell a friend. Yeah, tell a friend.
Yeah,
that'd be good. Friends. Oh, I just realized something. In the mix of everything, I forgot to introduce myself, but I guess they already know that it's, MC Johnny Z, a.k.a. You Know Who, Thick Flair.
Got it. And so we're going to move it along.
Speaking of who do we have coming in today? Oh, yeah, you see, you interrupted my segue, but it's okay.
It's the coffee.
We're going to let it go. We're going to let it go. Speaking of who do we have here today?
Bring him on. Just bring him in. I'm going to let him introduce himself. so that I don't fumble the
Actually, I'm pretty excited about this one because I kind of kept up a little bit about.
I'm really trying not to like be all geeked out and smile at him and stuff. So I'm gonna attempt to be on my best behavior today. I hope he's not wearing a tank. Is he wearing a tank? If he's wearing a tank top, I don't know. Anyway, okay, let's bring him in.
It's not often that we get hip hop on this platform. You know what I mean? So yeah,
I'm excited.
I'm inclined more toward hip hop than a lot. So this is actually gonna be a really pretty cool episode based off of what we usually get over here. So
why don't we go ahead and just bring them in.
You know, let's just go ahead and bring in Illa G. Illa G, the place to be. What's going on, brother man?
What up? How's everybody? Thank you.
I can speak for myself and say that, I'm feeling pretty groovy this morning. I'm feeling pretty groovy.
Yes.
I've had my caffeine. I'm good.
I have not. I really need some coffee in my life. Anyway, so JT, for this one, because this is more of what you're into than myself, I'm going to let you come on in and jump in more often than I usually do today.
What? I get to ask questions today?
You can ask some questions today.
Oh, happy day.
Matter of fact,
I have to keep faith alive, hope alive. I knew at some point in time she'd let me talk. This is great.
Today is your lucky day, so I'm going to go ahead and let you lead us out the gate. First, Illa, introduce yourself, Illa, and tell us about you, all about you.
Illa G, I am the incredible mathematics of Brooklyn, New York City. Well, one of my famous quotes is Flap Jose Bacon. And,
I like bacon. All right. A man who's done so much, but yet a man of so few words. But you know what? He's done so much out there in the world of hip hop, man. He's done so much, huh? Let me ask you a question. Did you find hip hop or did hip hop find you?
Oh, no. Hip hop found me through my cousins and my brother. Because they were doing that before me. I used to watch my cousin DJ and rap, and they had a crew and everything. So, yeah, hip hop found me.
Okay. So, you are a hip-hop veteran, okay? And the hip-hop veterans, they're out doing the rookie-seasoned hip-hoppers out here right now, and those are just statistics, and those are the numbers. The data is what it is. And the well-seasoned hip-hop veterans, and those are going to be the 40-plus rappers, they're out doing it right now numerically everywhere you look at it. I'm going to ask a very simple question because I was influenced heavily by hip hop in the 90s and we didn't have the internet in order to learn about new music. We had Rap City on BET and we had MTV Raps on MTV. In your estimation, if you had to quarterback from the Lazy Boy chair for your money, which was the better show, BET Rap City or MTV Raps?
I would go with, you said Rap City. I would have picked the Basement because they like the artist mind.
All right.
But out of those two, I don't know. I was more inclined to watch BET Rap City.
Same here. The thing about Rap City, I just felt like they just exposed more artists. Rap City was probably viewed more because of its platform with MTV, but I just feel like there was a lot of hip hop that I learned about on Rap City that just never made it to MTV Raps. And so I'm not surprised to hear that. What's the one rap song? The one rap song that you heard where you were like, yo, I gotta do this. Your biggest influential rap. Maybe two or three of your most influential rap songs.
As far as MCing wise was Kool G Rap, Kool is Back. For that time, even when you listen to it now, that was like in 88. And he was saying the most craziest things to me, the way he put words together. It was G Rap, Streets of New York. I mean, it's too many to count. too many. You gotta give it up for like Run DMC sucker MCs. You gotta. It's, I mean, it's so many that was powerful. Furious Five, The Message. I mean, it was so many, so many.
When you picked up a mic and started rapping, was there any rap group or hip hop act that you feel like you were initially looking to pattern your style around?
No.
Always Illogy.
I mean, it took me up to what, high school to get my, I would say my, what I would call my own flow, where I was kind of like more free, but you know, everything else was just, I was copying my cousin and my brother pretty much.
I have a question.
Yes.
Oh, see, you got me blushing. I need focus. Listen. No, my question was, you said hip hop found you. Mm-hmm. When and where were you when hip hop found you?
Oh my God. That had to be what? 1980 when my brother and them was, you know, going outside, and this is when the equipment was going outside, and they used to babysit me, and they used to, you know, sneak me out of the house. They used to tell me shut up and take me to block parties where I was not supposed to be. And just watching the elevator, you know, looking at the whole, you know, when my cousin would battle, I used to get nervous like he was about to fight us. He was never scared to like battle people.
And you said, this is for me. This is what I want to do.
Yeah, this is it. You know, to see them, the routines like back then, when they used to play the tapes, the routines, a lot of groups harmonized. And they had what they would call the routines or whatever, so on and so forth. And that was like very powerful back then.
So when, after you got bit by the hip hop bug, so to speak, when did you start actually performing and who was it with?
I didn't take it serious. I took hip hop serious after I came home from jail. Before that, I just really wanted to rap on the radio. I just really wanted to, like, MC. You know, I say myself as an MC first before a rapper. And I just wanted to kill the radio. I just wanted to rap on the radio, MC, kill it, and that was it. Like, I didn't really too much think about songs and everything. I just wanted to, you know, just totally annihilate a beat in the radio.
So, I'm going to get a little personal. Was there something that went on while you were in jail that motivated you to say during that time, like, when I get out, I'm gonna start tearing it up? Like, was there anything that went on?
I like women. I don't want to be in there with a bunch of men all, you know, back and forth all the time. No, I don't want to do it. This is enough for me. This one time is enough.
So, but what made you go, when I get out, I'm gonna start doing music seriously, taking it serious?
Oh, just give it a shot, because, you know, my one biggest regret is never to see, that I didn't see how far I could have went playing basketball. I'm very good at basketball.
Are you?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I was a short guy. Like, well, I was like 5'10". I could dunk at a mid-range game, everything.
Nice.
Did you feel like the culture of hip-hop or music changed a whole lot ahead of when you went and did your time in jail and when you came out? You feel like there was more opportunity coming out?
The culture of hip-hop, people got to understand hip-hop, right? When you say the culture of hip-hop, hip-hop is like the freedom to expression. Rap is the business. So once you start a deal, it's rap. It's no longer hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? You can try, but the label's going to want you to push a certain type of record. They want you to have this type of record for the radio. It's not a, it's, you know, you have somewhat form of expression, but they need those things for it to be like top 40 type thing. So as far as rap, yes, it was a little more, but you know, that's what you say. But a lot of people didn't understand the business side of things. And they just, you know, they just look forward to, oh, you know, I sign, I'm going to get exposed to a lot of things. I do shows, I do all this. but you know, people didn't really get to handle their business until after a while they started to see of, you know, hands are in their pocket and they're not getting the money they're supposed to. But it was more of, like influence, like it was more noticeable.
As you were putting your music together, were you creating music, keeping a certain audience in mind? Were you creating your music around what satisfied you artistically? Were you creating for? Okay, let's talk about that a little bit. What drove that decision, and what was a little of the psychology at the time that you were creating?
It's
at
just
time?
To show how, like, it's called ego tripping. Man, I keep forgetting all these words now, but whatever. But it's called ego tripping when you brag how good your style is. So it's just like you just go to another level of it. You know what I'm saying? They just say things. At one point in time, I would just say how my words would rob you, roll dice, and then show up for a show. Still how things was, you know, traditionally said of how you kill a beat, so on and so forth. But I kind of mixed that with the street life a little bit, with the, you know, the lyrical metaphors. And you're just trying to be the most aggressive. You know, you're just saying outlandish things that's totally impossible to be, you know, to get your point across that you're the best MC that exists. And it's still pretty much the way I rhyme today when it's like MCing. But now it's just like I have a lot more vocabulary and I like mixing my words with words that doesn't seem like they go together.
Who would you say are probably some of the best wordsmiths in hip hop? Because you start looking back at the 80s and it's interesting that you said that. The English vocabulary, we've got over 100,000 words at our disposal, and lyrics are simply words. And so wordplay is like, for me, that's like the flash, that's the flex in hip hop lyrics for me. Who are some of your more notable wordsmiths in hip hop from your perspective? Well,
hip hop, if we go down the line, we got to start with back then. It's just we have to say like Kumo D. We have to go LL Cool J, Melly Mel. That was very notable to me. It was a guy named Spoonie G that was, you know, just the way he flowed. His flow was crazy back then. I didn't even understand it. Sleeper. I would say a sleeper that nobody didn't pay attention to. That it, I ain't gonna lie, it took me a while to like re-listen to it. Was Chill Rob G. Rob G was catching the body back then with Classic and Special. Well, at least those are the two songs I hate for the body back then. Then you get to the, you know, you get to the, you gotta say back then, you gotta say like Ice Cube then. And G-Rap and Kane and MC-wise. Then you got, you know, the Rakim. Then you got the Nas. I would say Prodigy. You got to say Sean Price. When he became a separate entity like Sean Price. You got to say Royce da 5'9". You gotta say Black Thought. You gotta say Rock Marciano. You gotta say Energy. You gotta say nowadays you gotta say RJ Payne. You gotta say Eminem. You gotta say Wayne had a run. But you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of MCs that really put it in from, you know, within the man.
You know, I think the interesting thing about your list is that they all built off of each other. as you go through era to era, even year to year, generation to generation, they all built off of each other. And I'm a big stan for Big Daddy Kane. I thought that his wordplay and the way he, a lot of rappers at one point, they just look to make the end of each bar rhyme. But Kane was making full sentences rhyme, and I just was mesmerized by his flow. And I think another one, I think who still stands the test of time is Master Ace. I think like he just gets, I think he's grossly overlooked sometimes too. And he's continued to handle very well on an independent model. He was on Sway about 2 weeks ago with Marco Polo. I mean, and he looks good. He exposed, he was 58 years old, and his rhyme style is just, his pen is still sharp all the way across the board. If you can look at some of the, what we would now revere as legends in rap music, if you can pick any two or three, outside of Illogy, of course, who would you pick to have another significant run of an album? I'm talking the full exposure like a new artist would get. Who do you think should get, who would you want to pick to see that opportunity? I'll now give you like up to two or three of those.
What, who would I want to see rap now?
And you know, in this hip-hop rap music economy, like getting the win, the exposure, I mean, I'm talking, well,
it depends on the person. It depends on, I would love to see
G-Rap. The name one more time?
G-Rap.
Cool G-Rap. Okay.
Oh, it has to be early G-Rap. Like, it has to be, yeah, it gotta be G-Rap. Like, so Mafia G-Rap, I did like the Mafia
G-Rap. Okay. So the OG version, the earlier edition.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of these people, their earlier the rendition of themselves is tough. You know, before things doubt or vanity creeps in.
Are you a fan of any of the female MCs that came through? And I ask that question because as we look throughout the years and we look at the way females were utilized in hip hop, I'm going to say rap music, because there's other elements of hip hop beyond the music part of it. And women were breakdancers. There were female graffiti artists that were in it. There were plenty of females that were knowledgeable about things, and they were spreading that as well. So I want to make sure I differentiate and say, just in the space of rap, as far as females are concerned, what say you about the way that they have been utilized over the decades and in rap music? Any favorites? Any that you feel like, man, they should have gotten better shine? And then I'm going to double back around with the second part of that question.
Quite a few that should have gotten better shine. Jean Grey should have gotten better shine.
Yeah.
You know, I think my two female friends, Pretty Bully and Feeble More Fire, should have gotten better shine. I feel, who else? Well, even though she could sing, Lauryn Hill was nice. She was. And there's quite a few more women out there that I probably don't know their names. You know, I like the look Rhapsody is good. You know what I'm saying? Because it's about the words, not their body shape. You know what I'm saying? Those are MCs. They're not letting the, you know, even though they're very pretty, they're not using that to be, you know, that's like almost like a significant thing with rap. I'm really not a fan of that. I'm a word person, you know. I want to hear the females go crazy. Words. You know, rap a little bit, then just shake your ass or shake a tail feather all over.
Do you think that that's an industry system issue, and that's why the way it is? Because a lot of artists are now, I mean, you hear when you look at the independent formula, All you got to do is just go direct to fans. Use the internet, use social media. We hear that all the time. The other part that we don't hear to that is, well, there's a price tag that comes with doing that, even without a label. The idea of just posting something on some social media platform, it's just viral all of a sudden. There's a little bit of a science that goes to that some of the time, many of the times. Do you think that now that rappers in general can go straight directly to the consumer without necessarily having an intermediary like a label in the middle now, do you see that maybe there might be more room for female lyricists to get shine because of their lyricism? Yeah. And if it's not, and then why do you think it's not happening more?
It is, people got to understand how to run the business of it. You know, when you're going independent, you're the label, you're the business. So you got to know how, you got to do things to promote yourself to get people to want to listen to you. You know, you got to prove to them that your worthiness. You know, why should I buy your project? Who are you? You know, what you know, a lot of people want to get. I'm learning myself. You know, a lot of people want to know more about the artists themselves. You know, it would be great if you can have a story with it. You know,
but, what do you?
As far as mine is a same cliche story. I mean, even though it's viewed different, nobody went through it like I went through it. But it's the story you gotta get involved in. You know, getting people to know who you are.
So on that vein, what do you think about TikTok as a vehicle for that? Are you a user of the platform? I was reading an article this week that said something like 82% of the songs that found a space on Billboard charts over 2025, they went viral on TikTok first.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great space to use if your music can get on there. For some reason, my music would be blocked. Like, it went through for a second, but then once I started trying to flood it with my music, it's like it got blocked. I don't know what happened. So, I don't know what it is. But I guess if it's known and it's streaming or whatever, it gets flagged, it gets blocked.
What kind of strategies are you using for your current releases? How are people learning about your current day materials?
Well, what do you do? I just be on my website, energy.net at the website. Get the music, get the merch, that's it. Mm-hmm. Let alone putting songs up and videos up on my platform on Instagram. And, you're just going to have it use a little, promotion sometimes to push these things. Sometimes it happens organically, but get it done that way.
Are you performing anywhere?
Or
where's your most recent?
Mm-hmm. November 1st, I will be in Chicago. And then after that, November 26th, 27th, I'll be in London. A couple spots in London. Me and Raz Paz and MF911 is in London. Week of Thanksgiving.
Dude, that sounds exciting. Looking forward to getting out the country for a little bit.
Oh, yes. I love it. I love performing. I may be quiet now, but I love performing.
That's interesting. Because I see that a lot with other artists that we have on our podcast every now and then. You get them on a stage and it is a totally different energy, a totally different feel, a totally different persona. And then just in this form, as you were saying, like I'm quiet now, but you get me out there on that stage or you get me in that booth. It's a totally different thing. Do you feel like the performer persona, do you feel that it's an extension of sort of a quieter part of your personality? I guess what I'm asking is, your artist persona, your general self just turned up really loud.
Yeah, it's aggressive.
Okay.
Naturally aggressive. I mean, I don't know. I hear so many things about me. People say I look like I'm about to slap somebody. I don't know. I don't see it. You know, I have a natural scowl on my face. So I can't change the face. So, you know, broad shoulders. You know, arms is big. So I don't know. But on stage, it's just a brat. I just feel like, you know, like a rock star on stage. You know, the way I perform, you know, it makes me hyper. It makes me more aggressive. Especially with saying the words.
On your live show, do you prefer, there was what I feel was a terrible trend, and if you were part of it, I feel like it was a terrible thing to be a part of, where people would perform their music essentially just rapping over the recorded version of their song.
Never do that. That's not how I was taught. You never mama be words.
I felt like that trend was as bad as that whole people popping balloons on people tree, and I felt like both of those are just horrible for anything. So if you had the choice, or maybe you have had the choice before, what would be your preference, to perform with the live band and rap with the live band, or over the instrumentation?
Either or. I mean, if I go with the live band, even with the DJ, you know, I would like to, you know, I'm gonna start getting super James Brownsy with the live band. Mm-hmm. You know, stop and pause and flip on the floor and whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Like, then you have no other choice but to do that.
What's one of your favorite towns or countries where you've had a chance to perform so far?
Oh, I love the Czech Republic. Czech Republic was dope. Berlin was dope. Like Philly, they love MCs. LA, Canada, like those are all those spots. Of course, New York, you know, even though in New York you got to threaten the fans, and I have no problem with threatening them. But because everybody's too cool in New York. Nobody wants to be like, you know, so I usually threaten them.
In Canada, Vancouver or Toronto?
Toronto.
Okay.
I like Toronto. Had a blast when I went to Toronto.
Yeah.
A blast. They say it's similar to New York as far as how late everything stays open and things like that.
Yeah, it seemed like it was Queens or something. Like it has a Queens-ish feel
to it.
Mm-hmm.
So of all those places that you named off, where would you be the most eager to make a return performance again?
Czech Republic, the festivals, or any festival.
Amazon, we just had somebody on who was also speaking highly of the Czech Republic. I have to look back in our archives and see who that was.
I find that honestly, a lot of artists of color, I hate to use that term, but it is what it is. They seem to be not better, well received when they tour Europe. They love touring Europe. They always say that the energy is better there.
He's flexing. I mean,
it might have been Ramsey.
He's flexing the biceps on us.
I know. I told you, don't you do that.
He straight pulled out the gun right in the middle.
I'm trying to be professional. I've been very good this whole time. Don't start nothing. Don't be doing that.
And for those of you guys who are consuming this episode only as an audio, and I know that this will end up a video clip without question. My man, as he started stretching, but the stretch, he was flexing both of the biceps. I don't even want to try to do it.
First of all, don't
look anywhere near the same. But he was flexing on you, Amazon. He was flexing on you in the middle of the question.
I'm trying to focus. I'm trying to be. Don't start. But anyway. So, no, but I found that a lot of them say that they've really felt well-received and loved, that the crowds have more energy and things like that over in the UK.
What is that?
I wonder, like, why? Why are they?
Because they appreciate it. It's like they appreciate it. I feel like he is. It's like, you know, yeah, that's John from down the block. Like, I don't have to, like, you know, I can see it. Listen to him all the time. I see him all the time.
Oh, that makes sense.
Do you think the UK artists, the UK audience appreciates UK grown rap artists the same way they appreciate American ones?
Actually, I think so.
Yeah. Because for years I've heard that the overseas audiences are engaged a little bit more because, well, they just aren't there all of the time. So if they've only seen these artists on television or, you know, I guess now the internet, but they just a lot of hip hop artists never made it overseas, even though their sales were better overseas. So when they get out there, they appreciate it more because they haven't seen it. So I was just wondering, maybe in America, it's not appreciated as much because we're just inundated with so much of it, where it's just like, whatever. Yeah.
It's too many. What is that? It's a quote a friend said. It's like it's too many. Basically, it's too many rappers and not enough customers.
I can see that. Do you think that with the advance of the internet, social media platforms and all of that kind of stuff, do you think that it's hurt the growth trajectory for rap music because now there's no one there that's there to kind of play gatekeeper or even just A&R what's quote unquote good or not so good? It's kind of like the era of microwave music. Somebody can wake up on a Saturday morning, start to finish, and have their music distributed by the end of their Saturday, and there's no, you know, focus group, there's no testing for anything, it's just out.
Well, it's the luck of the draw. You know, sometimes you're going to get something good, or many times you're going to get something bad. But it's the luck. Like, you know, you can't. People got to realize the fans will tell you what type of music they want from you. You would like to push what you like, but, you know, the fans will let you know which ones they like. It's really not up to you. You could just put it out there and see what they receive it or not. But seriously, like I said, it's the luck of the draw.
Has there been a rap album that's dropped within the last year or year and a half that moves you, that you're like, okay, yeah, that's my... Nothing.
No. What would need to happen? Just like, if it's a good song, I like a good song, no matter who it is. But as far as the album and as it, no.
Do you consume singles more? Or
I mean, I give it a shot. I would listen to the album. So,
okay.
You know, as far as just like, I think one that's really strong now, people will feel I'm biased, even though I am kind of biased, but. You know, the new Mobb Deep album is solid.
Well, let's segue to that. How did you end up on the track with Prodigy?
Yes.
We went to school together.
Okay.
I went to school with Havoc and Prodigy. We all went to art design.
Dang. Just that simple.
Yeah, well, I met Prodigy. I was going to rob him. But then we had a mutual friend and we got cool and became my brother after that. And so when they, you know, I went the street direction, they went the music direction. And, you know, to see their success, it was like, wow, like, you know, it's going to happen. You know, and I applaud them for that.
Have you been in the studio working on cooking up any new tunes? Or when you get ready to go out on the road, are you going to be performing anything that you've not performed yet live?
No. The latest thing is that I'm putting out on my birthday is Psychedelic Contraband, November 18th, only on my website, illadude.com.
Okay, and that's going to be the 18th of October?
November.
All right. So we'll make sure you keep in touch with us so we can make sure that we drop a few posts. To help make sure we can do our part to promote some of our community guests that we've had here on Punkdemic, for sure.
Okay, let the shenanigans begin. I'm going in. JT, you know what to do. No, so we're not going to talk about hip-hop for a second. Rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
What would be some rock song favorites, some artists that you would say might sneak in there from time to time?
No, my favorite is Jump by Van Halen.
Van Halen. Yeah. No way.
Yeah.
That's interesting. No, because I remember when the video came out for Jump, it was like the coolest thing I'd ever seen. And he literally did jump through the whole damn video.
Yeah. It's a verb. Can't go wrong with a verb.
No. Now, reggae.
Mm-hmm.
What would be some of your favorite reggae cuts?
Reggae songs. Reggae or dance hall?
What's that?
Reggae or dance hall. Reggae is a lot slower.
You can do reggae and then we could do dance hall if you like dance hall.
I mean, reggae, I really don't have too many. I don't really know a lot of reggae songs, but dance hall would be, there's so many of them.
There is.
I can't even think of the hardcore ones. It's like cool.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even think of the names right now, but that's a lot of dance hall.
Well, there's so many.
Stopper. Murder, She Wrote.
What do you listen to when you're not listening to hip-hop?
Too many things. It could be jazz, sometimes some jazz songs. It could be R&B soul. A lot of R&B soul, jazz, alternative rock. That nature, those type of things.
When you're outside working on those arms of yours, what are you listening to, if anything?
Hip hop. Pure 90, like 90s strong hip hop. Not even 90s, but just hip hop. So mostly hip hop songs that I like is strong. That makes me aggressive.
So I wasn't gonna mention Hold You Down, right? Was mm-hmm. gonna go all the way around that. And that's only because, would you say that's like the one song that you love, or is it the one song that like it got so much attention that it irked your nerves because it wasn't your best? What do you feel about?
I appreciate it. Like people, you know, I know sometimes in my mind I was like, oh, people, you know, like that song, and you know, I was following the song for that. You know, it's just like, but I truly appreciate it to be a part of that. You know, I watched it slowly climb and go across the country.
So after that, after it kind of, I don't know what's a good term, tapered off or whatever like that. Mm-hmm. What were you doing after that? What was your next single or your next album? What was the next thing you worked on after that?
I had put a project out called Murder and Truth. After that, the Hold You Down thing, like during that time. Yeah, because it was like, yeah, Hold You Down came out. I had to like Murder and Truth. Yeah, it's called Murder and Truth. That was a project I was doing. And I did like most of the beats on that. I was like early 2000s.
And then now, what are you working on? I know you're going to tour. Let's go forward.
The latest one is going to be Psychedelic Contraband.
I like that name. Say it again.
Yeah. Psychedelic Contraband.
Why?
Why?
Why Psychedelic Contraband? What?
Psychedelic Contraband because it's my lyrics are illegal and it drives you crazy. It's like it's it should be, you know, it should be, it's not legal for all the stuff I'm saying. You know, it hurts the brain when you really listen to it.
Love it. What is one or two favorites of yours off of this new album?
Favorite is Harder They Try, and Midnight Train to Brooklyn.
Where can I hear it? When can I hear it? Where is it at?
You can go. You can hear those two songs on Illogy.net. You can buy them on, Illogy TV on YouTube. I did videos for them. And you can buy them on my website, Illogy.net.
Got it. I believe you just said Illogy.net. Boy, you're better at that than Johnny T with his punkdemic.com. I tell you what. Well, I could probably talk to you all day. I could talk to a lot of people all day. I talk too much. We try to keep our... You know what? You don't get to laugh at that.
Hey. When you say funny things, the audience is not laughing.
I found it to be hilarious,
okay?
You know what? Chuckle, I find you to be hilarious.
Chuckle. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. I was always told that my personality is one of those things that just kind of leads the way for me, you know?
Go ahead.
Illogy. Yeah, you notice how I just went on ahead and just jumped right back into Illogy. I wasn't trying to hear all of that.
Listen, I don't care. It's not called the Johnny Taylor podcast. You know what I mean?
You know, you let me talk a little bit more. You let me talk a little bit more today, and all of a sudden I'm the star of the whole show all of a sudden.
I appreciate it. You did very well, I would say.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, we also appreciate the time that you made to hang out with us today, Illogy. Thank you so very much. We appreciate it. We're going to ask you to plug all the ways that people can get a hold of you and connect with you. Plug the Psychedelic Contraband album one more time, the date, the location where people can get it from one more time. This is going to be like the wrap-up clip, so then that way we can just spam it all over the World Wide Web.
All right. Illogy, you can find me on Illogy2K on Instagram. The site is Illogy.net. Get the music, get the merch, that's it. All my videos are on Illogy TV on YouTube. Sign up, subscribe. Thank you. Once again, slap holes. Thank you.
Okay, you know, remember, you heard it straight from the lungs of Illogy himself. He says, slap holes, eat bacon.
Is that what he just said?
That is a quote.
I did not hear. So, can we say, wait a minute. So he can say slap holes and eat bacon, but I can't.
You can't, you cannot, and he can. I am not part of the FCC. I just follow their rules and their guidelines.
Wow.
So yes.
I'm writing a letter to somebody today. That's not fair.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what?
I want to slap holes and eat bacon too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if Illogy was the mayor, I believe that in that city, everyone could slap holes and eat bacon.
Right.
Yeah. And we're not talking that turkey bacon stuff either. We talking that bacon, right?
Well, I don't eat bacon at all. It's something that just became.
Johnny said. He said, "I don't want that turkey bacon. I want the real thing." Yeah. Bet.
but you know what? I feel like as the mayor of such a quote, I think that's awesome that even though he doesn't eat the bacon, he's open to allowing others to eat bacon as well. And that's a great thing. Have at it. See, he's a giver. And he's gonna be giving us some hot new music. Make sure we check that out. That's gonna be November the 18th. Psychedelic Contraband, Illogy.net.
My birthday is going to be my birthday.
I was going to say, birthday's coming up too. Yes.
Oh my gosh. November the 18th, man. Look at that. And then he's going to get a chance to get out of town, head over to London a couple days after that fact. Week and a half or so after the fact. You're going to have an incredible birthday month, Illogy. You're going to have an incredible birthday month.
It will be.
Thank you for joining us, everyone out there, wherever you have consumed this episode. Again, be sure we go support this brother over here at Illogy.net. Keep in mind, November the 18th is going to be the day that your minds will be exposed to something so illegal by the form of psychedelic contraband. Album will drop on November 18th only at Illogy.net. And you can catch my man touring and doing a couple spots again in Chicago and also overseas across the pond in London in the UK. I think this is a great place to wrap this one up. So as I like to say, every time we call the episode, be kind to your mind and each other. And at the end of the day, it's night.
Don't
say next
it.
It's too late. Until next time, everyone. We'll see you next time. Same punk dimmick time, same punk dimmick channel. MC Johnny T for Illa G and the Amazon Queen of Everything, Punk Dimmick Podcast, signing off. So long.